with Architecture Talk, podcasting about criticism and analysis of the built environment. I've been having so much fun with remote recording lately that I decided to continue the practice and not stay cooped up in my stuffy studio at home and get out a little bit. Today I am recording from the Chicago lakefront. It's just one of those really nice days that if you are in a place that has a harsh winter, you know that you got to get out and enjoy it. So I thought I'd take this opportunity to bring you out here, looking over a harbor and the locks where the Chicago River is isolated from the Lake Michigan. I'm sure some of you may have heard this, but at some point, the engineers, the city, the Chicago realized that the river was so polluted that it was dumping pollution out into Lake Michigan. And in order to prevent that, they decided to take the Chicago River and turn it around and make it flow the other way. One of the big steps in doing that was, of course, the construction of a set of locks here at the mouth of the river that isolate it from the lake, which allows them to pump water into the river, and that's what helps encourage its flow in the opposite direction. Of course, you know, something that was done for pollution. Anyway, I wanted to change pace a little bit today with the podcast. I've been talking a lot about larger issues and larger design issues in terms of the sort of the world as a whole, and I wanted to talk a little bit about something smaller, something more, I guess, personal in some ways, and that is design process. And, you know, even though this might seem sort of esoterically tied into architecture, it really, I think, is tied into a lot of different design creative thinking in general. So no matter what you're designing, what you're thinking about, and what you're looking at, maybe some of these thoughts are something that can have a certain amount of value to you. Basically, I think that the end product of what you're creating is very much tied into the process that you follow when you're trying to create this. And one of the big reasons that this is a concern to me is that, from what I've seen, it occurs differently in the work environment than it does in the academic environment. Much of what I look at in school was exactly analyzing how you get from A to B and learning what the design process is like and paying a lot of attention to that process. And what I've seen a lot since I've been out is that the process has very little relevance and the end result is more important. And I'm still of the more academic belief that how you go about getting to your final product is essential in defining what that final product is, or that the process is something that has a very strong involvement into what the final product is. What this basically means is that instead of the sort of typical knee-jerk reaction, you have a deadline to meet and you have to have something for it, it means you have to step back and plan the design process more and think more about what the effect of how you go about it is. You know, architecture, of course, is one of the few types of making things out there that is context-specific per item, meaning that every building is unique and you have to think about each building. And so when you begin, you have to begin with a little bit of analysis, because every time you design something, the conditions within which that fits are different. And this is even true of designs that tend to be more repeated or within one type of building. That how you go about framing the making for that particular place and time and context is different, and the tools that you use to come up with the ideas and to socially frame them or frame them with ideas are often quite important. The relationship of ideas to the architecture, what I think I've talked about before, is something that really is a part of that process. It's how you work those particular ideologues into the texture of what you're designing and how it controls or how it doesn't control what you're doing. And so the process, you know, the actual way that you take things apart, you know, is where you kind of grapple with these ideas, social ideas and things like that, and kind of pull them on together and turn them into something. So I suppose my point being that anytime you're thinking about engaging in a creative act, and you know sometimes it's hard to even know when that's what you're starting to do, the first decision is not so much the end product, but how you're going to go about doing it, what methods you can use, and how you can control the process to achieve the sort of best results. And, you know, the notion of how you go about it is often charged. Well, take for example the current popularity of designing things in the computer. Well, you know, you tend to get a certain way of looking at things when it's all a three-dimensional object in the computer, and then you have materials through viz, as opposed to constructing something in a model form or making a construct, which I think is a slightly different variation on the model, in that, you know, a model implies that it's a miniature version of the real thing, and to me a construct is a model that also operates as sort of a piece of sculpture at its own scale and following its own rules, and is often charged with ideas more than it is just a small version of a potential reality. The use of the construct in model making in general, in terms of design, is often used in architecture in terms of just a way to sort of document what you've done. You design it in a couple of sketches and then build a model to sort of test the theory. Well, there's other schools of thoughts and more ones I like to follow sometimes too, where you actually design it while you're building the model. You sort of start off with nothing and construct it out of pieces until you end up with a final product. And when you do that, you don't have a preformed idea from your sketches that you're just building the sketches. You're actually creating it as you build it. And that leads to a different end result. If you do the same project twice and somehow are able to erase your memory of the first time and follow a different process each time, one through sketching and then documenting the sketches, and one of creating it as you build it, I suspect you'll end up with a completely different result. And the question is, which one would be better? Which one is better for that circumstance, the appropriateness of that particular methodology for what you're doing? All right, that's a fairly interesting yet short set of ideas to be able to document in this remote podcast. I have a couple of interesting things coming up, a couple of more interviews that we should be able to use, and an interview coming up about the homogeneity of urban environments and the sort of loss of the particularity of place within those environments. I also was thinking about trying to put together a show in regards to sort of media and architecture and the relationship between the two. Of course, the media of architecture is kind of a narrow little piece of the larger spectrum of what media is. But I think there's a global awareness that comes through the media that affects how people design in different places, and whether or not that's a good or bad. So with that, I think I'll go ahead and get going. It appears though the wind has kicked up a little bit and has caused a little bit of noise on the microphone, as I don't have a windshield of any kind. I'm sort of holding my hand up to block the wind. Another little bit of description of where I'm sitting. I'm on a park bench, and there's a pumping station close by to me, a couple of cars pulling up to that. Lakeshore Drive is running behind me, and I'm sure you can hear the ambient noise that has. In fact, right behind me there are proposed two 2,000-foot-tall towers. One is residential and hotel, which is the Fordham Spire that I think I've mentioned earlier, and the other one is more recent. It is a antenna for high-definition broadcasts. Now, I don't know what percentage of the people who watch television regularly do so through broadcasts, but apparently you're going to be able to get your broadcasts in high definition if this project goes ahead. Now, the amazing thing about it is it's 2,000 foot tall, and it's going to have an observation deck, a restaurant, parking garage, and nothing in between. So it is really going to be a large infrastructure piece that's not really a building, and so it's sort of funny on that point of view, especially considering that the movement of media is clearly away from things like airborne broadcasting, as we're proving right here. I'm looking ahead. There's a little gatehouse. Oh, I'm not sure what you'd call it. It seems to have a small lighthouse-looking portion built onto it, but it's not actually a lighthouse. It's sort of built in the Cape Cod vernacular type look, and it's the gatehouse for running the locks, I believe. And there's, of course, a couple of police boats moored there as well. There's a sailboat coming in right now. Being November, I'm kind of surprised that anyone would have their boat out yet, but hey, you know, maybe sailing in October is particularly nice. I don't know. Also looking out over Navy Pier, you can see the Ferris wheel, and that's about it for right now. You know, I enjoy looking at the horizon. There's something about contemplating the horizon that puts me in a particularly thoughtful mood, as I think I mentioned before. And I think that's about it for today. I will podcast again to you soon. I know I do try and put this together in a bi-weekly basis, one every other week, and it's been about 3.5 weeks, so I'm falling a little bit behind. I apologize, but one of the great things about the freedom of podcasting is you just keep me subscribed in your iTunes or other aggregator, and whenever I make an episode, it'll pop right up. So thank you for being patient, thank you for staying subscribed, and we'll talk to you soon.